Here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, founder of the Heartfelt Foundation, and other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about MSIA.
What we're looking for is for you, regardless of what you find around you in the world, and regardless of what you find in your inner world, and I'm talking about regardless, and that means you've all got your best excuses and reasons why you should not or you will not communicate or do something with somebody else. I would still like you to have a loving feeling inside of you toward yourself. And now, just for the heck of it, I know you don't know the person next to you, but just go ahead and hold their hand for a second. Just go ahead and touch their hand. And just the best way you know how, let them know that inside of you is a loving spiritual being and that you would like them to get that. And then let them get it any way they want to. Let them get it through their own hatred, through their own embarrassment, through their own anxiety, or through their own loving. Just let them get that. And when we do let go of hands, not yet, but shortly, let that invisible hand still touch. And when you see someone in this world on television, and yes, and when you see that TV minister put his hand out and he says, put your hand up against the TV and receive a healing, go ahead and do it so that he'll receive a healing also. Because let me tell you, that's got to be one of the hardest jobs in the world, to want to have people have success through your life and people not support you in that. It's got to be real hard, doesn't it? I listened to one the other night say, my heart's real heavy. And one of the people that I was watching with said, after 15 minutes, it was a 30-minute scene, he said, boy, I'm surprised that we've watched this long. I said, well, the reason we're watching is because he wouldn't be doing this if not that somewhere out there, someone is responding to him. And if they're not responding to him, and I just say this, we'd better keep watching that we respond with the loving. Because if he's got a heavy heart, the best thing to cure that is a lot of loving. And then the way to keep the heart up is to send the money. Now, that's the bottom line of it. There's nothing wrong with the bottom line. But there's no need to have a heavy heart if there's not money. Because you can work and make money, but you can work and have a heavy heart. And you can make money and have a heavy heart. But having love, regardless of anything else, boy, that's priceless. And that's what I would like you to get with everything that I've said now. And anything else that I'm going to say the rest of this time, to let you know that I would like you to have a loving heart and a joyful one, and let whatever that is just flow out of loving to you, to the next person. You may even be sitting there saying, I'm getting more than I'm sending. Then take it. It's meant for you to receive now. Maybe in 2 years you'll give it. Maybe in 20 years. Maybe in 3 seconds you'll give it. Does any of that matter as long as we're participating as loving beings with everyone else? And I didn't say with other loving beings. I didn't say that we have to care that they love. I'm just saying you love. Then let them do as the spirit inside of them tells them. If you'd like to let go of hands, fine. If not, you want to hang on, that's fine. That's up to you. Maybe you want to come back to yourself and just sit with your true love, your hubby or whatever, and just reaffirm once more that you two are two hearts beating in one time. Just the oneness of each other. We're teaching individual and world peace. And you just received the first large lesson. Let first peace be with you, loving. Then reach out and let peace and loving be with those around you. That isn't amazing. While you were here, you weren't worried about those over there or those back there, were you? Because the peace inside of you and the peace on each side of you started doing it. That's the key here. We don't have to worry about people in Calcutta. I mean, they should be worried about, but not by us, by other people there. But the people we see out here on the street and in the cars and in the buildings, not a worry, a one where your peace, by way of your loving, which is your caring and your sharing, goes out to them. And if you can't do it physically because of all those restrictions, you're still working with yourself, and maybe they're proper to have them, let it flow out spiritually. As the old saying goes, give it to God and say, God, you know where it goes. Now that's sort of presumptuous, isn't it, for us to give it to God and say, God, you know where it goes. Except, aren't we God's instruments on this planet? Every human being here are God's instruments on this planet to bring about God's purposes on this planet. Wow. Now you can worry. It's called, what if I'm not doing my part? Here's a key answer. Get a pencil and paper and write down what your key part is. If you can't write it down, don't worry about what your key part is because it hasn't shown up yet. But let your key part be, I'll keep producing loving for these other people who are doing it. And I work with a lot of different clinics doing healing, a lot of doing counseling. And some of them in there are really hard workers. I mean, they're seeing a lot of people and they're very effective. And they're assisting humanity as they find it in the person who shows up in front of them. Because that's how we assist humanity, by the way. And others in there aren't doing as much. But I see them sharing love to the patients, clients, when they come in. And they're also part of the healing, except they don't have a doctor's name behind them or in front of them or medical degree. But they've got a most rare talent, the talent to love someone and let them go. Do you know what we do? We love them and hang on to them. And then when they go to go, we beat them up and curse them. Now that doesn't take talent. That just takes being old possessive us. I can't really say that that's so bad either. Maybe the other person just wants to be possessed for a little bit longer, and maybe, just maybe, they do want to be beat up just a little bit. It's like when my mom and dad loved me, they smacked me and corrected me. So if I know if you love me, you'll smack me, then love me. Well, there was an old Walt Disney movie, and in it, the song said, the bears like to do it with a slap. So when they loved each other, they'd knock each other flying across the road, and then they'd come back for more loving. Well, we're not bears. But we still want to be touched. One of the biggest limitations that we've come to on this planet over the past, like I can recall back about 50 million years. So let's say back over the last 15 or 20 years, and some of you will remember that. There was the, I want everybody to be happy, but they were always doing it in terms of themselves. Then there was, I got to be happy. Then there's, I've got to find me. Then there's, you got to find you. And this, I got to find me, and you got to find you, man. If you didn't find you, you and I had a fight. Now we're coming to the place where it's, I'm okay and you're okay, but it moved past that called I'm okay and I'm wondering about you. Now it's moved to it's you're okay because I can see your progression, but I'm lagging and I don't know if I'm okay. There's only one type of thing to be looked at here. God created every one of us and didn't use junk. Now, if you've junked it up, then there's ways to unjunk it. And one thing we have to know is before we can start cleaning up our lives, we have to get information about what we've been doing, what we haven't been doing, how we might have done it better, and really how we can do it better. Because most of us look back and know how we could have done it better, except that doesn't do too much. There are instances where I've got to say, yeah, real good analysis can unlock it and clear it. But most people have got really good analyzed problems. And I'm saying, how about let's having real good unanalyzed love? That whatever that problem is, it's either going to strengthen you or it's going to transform you. Because you say, I can't stand it any longer. Is there value in suffering? I found two. I'll share them with you because they're not yours. The first value in suffering was, my God, I really had it good. The second value in suffering is when it stopped and I started having it good. But I never found any value in suffering. When it was going on, I would look for value, like, this is suffering. Now there's value here. And I go, no, there's not. There's no need to kid yourself. There's no value. Then I said, it could be worse, and then there was some value. But it was relative. By relativity, we get to see how things are. By experience of the good and the bad, we get to see how things are. Then, instead of focusing upon the badness of it, let's focus upon the relative goodness of it. Thank God I had that terrible experience, because I'll never go into that again, and I'm having real great experiences now. Now, some people say, you got to erase that one. I say, well, that one to me is my angel at the gate of hell. And if you don't mind, I'm going to let it stand there. So when I come over to that way, it goes, don't go over here. So I come back off, and it keeps me in a relatively nice frame of reference. Happy all the time? Oh, who wants to be happy all the time? Okay, I do, but I'm not happy all the time. Sometimes I'm joyful. Sometimes I'm ecstatic. I was happy when we were on the Pat Four, and one of the people who was, every time we get off the bus, they say, where's the WC, water closet, which means in our place, the toilet. And they say, you know, where's the toilet? And I'd say, you know, when I got off the bus, first thing I was looking for were toilets for people. Because pretty you see people running around, you know, it was frantic. I know they weren't looking for the halls of records. I knew they were looking. And I had, from my own experiences, I had the idea that there may have been a sense of urgency. And one lady, I told her, I'd heard her talking on the bus. She's saying, I wonder how much longer. Oh, I don't think I can wait. I'm and she was talking herself into her bowels in an uproar. We got off the bus, and I said, it's right over there. So she said, oh, and she took off running. And a few minutes later, she came back up, and she grabbed me by the shoulder. She said, false alarm. And I said, aren't you thankful? She said, yes. She says, I can have a little more confidence now. And it was amazing how at such a low level of conversation, confidence can start being built. But it got down to a very wonderful thing when we were grateful that if we drank the water, we wouldn't get sick. We got very grateful that if we did pass gas or something, that was all. We were at low senses of gratitude, but at high feelings of confidence. And they'd be so sick. They'd go like, oh God, I'm going to die. I want to, but I'm afraid. But I'd rather die than have this. But now that's got to be confusion. And then the next day, they're up going and say, how do you feel? I really feel wonderful that I feel wonderful. And I looked at my smile. I said, are you starting to get the teachings? They said, yeah, but do you have to get them in such a hard way? And I said, no, you can go to the seminary and study these things and put them into effect in daily living with other people around you. Then you just get to come out on the lab class to see how well you've got it. Well, by the time we got through going through a lot of things, we went through a lot of things. And how many of you went on that trip? Who are here? Raise your hand. How many of you would like to do it again? Yeah. That all the luggage appeared in one place was our greatest miracle. People would have their most horrendous, horrible, most terrible fantasy, and it never occurred. And I had the guides come to me, and we had some people that were older and who had had some disabilities, and they'd say, we're going to walk up to the top of Masada. Do you think they can make it? And I said, what are you going to do after you get up there? He said, well, we're going to walk around. I said, yeah, I think they can make it. He says, I'm talking about walking up the top of Masada. I said, look, if they can walk around up there, I think they can walk up there. He looked at me and he says, that isn't really how we think. I said, that's how we think. I mean, if you're going to get us up there and beat us or throw us in holes or something, no, none of us can walk up there. But if we're just going to get up there and walk around, yes, we can walk up there. Then we did, all of us. Terrific, wonderful, hot, but dry, sunshiny, but breezy. We got up on top and had a wedding. Oh, it's terrific, terrific. Along come other people who didn't appreciate the wedding. So we got to demonstrate consideration. We had the wedding anyway. And decide that they could participate if they wanted to. It was like, we're here, come on, it's open. And some of them did, and some of them participated by watching. But even them, I saw some of them tapping their toe in rhythm to the music, and some started clapping, and some knew the words. It was in Hebrew, I didn't know the words, so I just sang them in Chinese, something. Sounded the same to me. Then the guide said, well, there's a long line waiting to go down on these trams, and he'd promised us all we'd go down trams after we walked up, and a lot of us were looking for it. Oh boy, we get to ride down. He said, or we can take that trail down. Now, I've been to Masada before, and I rode up and I rode down. My mother didn't raise a fool. However, I developed into one over the years. He looked at me and he says, what do you think? I said, how long do you think it'll take to walk from here down there? He says, half hour, and my feet start going down the mountain. I thought, what is this? And along come his kid. He says, will you watch my kid as he goes down? I said, yeah. The kid took off ahead of me, so I watched him as he went down. I'm sure he meant, will you hold his hand and not let him fall? Well, the kid was a mountain goat. He just looked like a human being. I look like a human being, but I was just really an old, old person. Finally, we got down there, and we looked back up, and there were all of this four people coming down the trail. Some were coming down in individual and world peace. Some were coming down in individual terror. But to look at them, you'd think there was world peace. They were like this. One got down, they said, so-and-so's having a bad time. And I walked over, and she was crying. And I said, what is it? She says, I'm so terrified. I said, me? She looked at me, she smiled. She goes, no, not you. You're okay. That's nice validation. She's coming down the mountain. Up there, I would look down, I got so terrified. I said, so you're not on the mountain now? And she looked at me like, you have just ruined something. I said to her, you're here now. This is what counts. And she threw her sweaty arms around me. And I threw my sweaty arms and body and shirt around her. And we mingled sweat. It was wonderful. It was terrific. I says, now, how about walking back up that? She said, can I go around to the other side? I said, no, you don't even have to do either side, but that you're willing to do it means you're past it. She was past it. Now, she may have gone home and hallucinated all night. That's okay as long as you do it in your own bedroom. If you do it on the street, they throw you in jail. So, always do it in a safe place. Get with the group that's hallucinating the same way, like it's all wonderful. We all got this benign, blank smile of wonderfulness. And people come in and say, look, you're all glazy-eyed and smile. What is it? See, just glazy-eyed smiles. Then they think there's something wrong with you. And so they say, there's something wrong with you. We go, I know. I should feel miserable like you, judging everybody like you, but I really haven't got it in me to do it. I just feel too good that I'm here and that other people are here that I love and that we're happy and we're doing okay and we're not perfect, but we're sure going for excellence. Hey, some people on our trip got the gold. They really went to it. I took them to a 1,200-foot dark tunnel with cold water up to there. And the candles went out. But I had a flashlight. No fool here, folks. I also had matches. So I just light the candles. Got out of there and they said, you know, it's amazing. I haven't had time to get afraid, fearful, terrified while we've been traveling. I said, you can't. We keep moving too much. By the time you're terrified in this place, we're over to this place that has a whole brand new terror. There's no way to take this one over here. You have to drop that and get a new one. And if this new is not as bad as the old one, you'll feel a bit better about it. And as this thing kept moving and moving and moving, some of them said, there's no reason to have anything except just to be joyful. There's no reason to have anything except just to be joyful. Not have joy, be joyful. And people started just being joyful. And I wanted to walk up to them and say, what's wrong? You know, you're not generally known as joyful. You know, you're more or less one who goes, this is terrible and it's getting worse. And I'm there standby, and this is wonderful and it's getting better. So where's it all going on? Obviously, it's an internal environment that's running what's going on. Get the thing inside working in unity. Look, if you get a thought, get a feeling that matches it that you can move on. Now, you may not want to move on them, but you can. Most of us get a feeling, and then we get a thought, and we can't do anything about it, so we have anxiety. Most of us get a feeling, and we want to do something about it, but we can't think of what it is. Then it's called psychotic. Then a lot of us want to do something, but we don't feel like it, and we can't think of anything to do to make us feel like it, and we just are lazy. You know, the spirit is willing, but there's no flesh or mind to go along with it. Getting that triumvirate to just start moving in the most simple, small things. Now, the Bible said it very simply. The evil of today is enough. Now, I like that because it says one thing is, do today, finish it. Don't carry it over to tomorrow. Tomorrow can have its own evil. Well, that philosophy was written in a time when evil was a real format. And I tell people, the loving, caring of today is enough. I know a lot of you could have been a lot of other places today doing many, many other things. And some of you were, and you left and came back, and I'm honored by that. I'm just honored that you loved you, and I'm going to say that you loved me and the ones that you were with to come here to be at this group. And I would really hope that someplace that whatever loving you had has a little bit more. And I hope it has even a better quality. And if it was 100%, I still hope it has a better quality. And if it was already perfect, I still hope it gets more perfect. Because I don't know what it is yet. And I don't want to wish my restriction on you. So I'm just saying, whatever it is, golly, do it more. And if it is more than I know, come back around so I can see it. And if you can tell me, tell me. And if you have to write me to tell me, write me and tell me. Give me a chance. The same way that I open myself to say, I give you the chance. If we don't give each other the chance, I don't know why we're together. Because that giving each other a chance is the same way of saying that we're loving, we're sharing, and we're caring for each other. I end up by saying a word that means the blessings already are. And I truly mean that. And it's a factor of changing the eyes and the attitude to see that these blessings already are, and not that I have to do anything, that it's just there and the blessings are there. And it's called Berush Beishan.
John Rogers' closing words were Berush Beishan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.